Welcome back to The Edge. New Pinterest features are geared towards shopping. Google's willing to split the company back to itself to avoid a DOJ lawsuit. And if you only have time for one piece of content or one re-optimized piece of content, which should you choose? You're listening to News from The Edge for the week of July 11th, 2022, here on Edge of the Web Radio.
From the Edge of the Web studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
Hey, welcome back to The Edge. This is Edge of the Web Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks of Site Strategics, a digital marketing agency based here out of Indianapolis, Indiana. We're covering SEO and digital marketing tactics and trends and news of the week, separate from our weekly interview, getting more news to you more quickly than ever before. Be sure to check out all the stories, all the videos, everything over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. This is the Site Strategics digital marketing news desk of Edge of the Web. We're proud to have Site Strategics as the title sponsor of the show. Our digital marketing team is excellent at results-based agile marketing that is all focused about changing based on results, changing based on the gauges and the dials that we see on a regular basis. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about that in the show. But if you're interested in what we do, give us a shout over at sitestrategics.com. Joining me this week as a special guest coming in, because the man is usually in the seat is missing right now, is Greg Finn, partner at Cypress North and friend of the show. Greg, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I don't know, though, if you hit the upgrade button or the downgrade button here from Morty to me, but I'm happy to be here either way.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, he sounds so much clearer than Morty as well. You know, it's amazing. It's great to have you on the show. You've been on the show a number of times. It's always great to be able to talk to you. You specialize in paid marketing, but you also have a fantastic podcast. That's Marketing O'Clock. Tell us about that, sir.
Yeah, it's like this show, but with the downgrade button. So all the fancy and well-produced elements, we don't have any of those. And it's the only thing that's the same is, you know, you swapped out one dude who rants and raves for another dude who rants and raves. So that's the only thing that's similar.
Nice. I appreciate that. But yeah. No, you are lying, because Marketing O'Clock is kicking it. You guys are doing a great job over there with the visual aspect of things as well. So don't say that. Don't sell yourself short.
Thank you much. I appreciate
it. Absolutely.
I have a feeling I'll be doing a lot less editing this episode.
I think
I'm calling it right now. This is going to be easy.
Yeah. I think we're going to be a lot more comfortable, aren't we?
No problem.
So Morty actually got himself over to Moz. The entire Wix team's over there. And we wish him all the best in the world. He'll be back next week. But I wish we could be out there as well. But you know what? We actually are going to enjoy this conversation with Greg. It's always a pleasure to have you on board. So we called an audible and wanted to get you on board here and talk through the news of the week. So you ready to go for that?
Yep, and I say good riddance. Good morning.
All right. Well, we want to make sure that you know that we go through a number of different articles of the news each and every week, and we tee it up right before show so we can get the freshest content to you and what's bouncing around the place. And there's been a lot of news actually just this morning that we cooked into it. From Search Engine Land by Nicole Farley, we want to talk about Pinterest. Pinterest is doubling down on shopping by adding a few new features. Now, check this out. The social media and image sharing platform is reacting to an increased e-commerce demand by launching new shopping features, including product tagging on pins, videos, and catalogs, a shop tab on the business profiles, and an API for shopping. Now, we've been waiting to see this type of evolution of the commerce side of this going through Pinterest. Video in catalog was a fantastic addition. The video ad formats increased click-through rate by 158%, lowering the cost per click by 42%. And lowering the cost per acquisition by 58%. These are the early tests versus static images. Video ads alone, says the article, allow merchants to show additional angles of their product to further drive conversion. So what are you thinking about e-commerce and that coming into Pinterest, Greg?
I can't love this anymore. You know, you see a lot of these social media networks and everybody's zigging to everybody's zig.
Yeah.
And Pinterest is sort of going the opposite. They've got their own course and they're just kind of plodding along. You know, it's not the thing that everybody's always talking about with, you know, the shorts fund or you know, TikTok shopping.
Yeah.
But you really can't have a better match than you know, Pinterest and shopping, because it is so visual. It is so product driven.
Absolutely. You get the mic problem there. Are we gonna check that out? What's going on? What the heck is this?
Wait.
That's right. You thought I was gone. You're going to get rid of me. And you, Finn, try to take my spot.
I just said it would have been so good to see you if you showed up.
Well, here I am.
Maws, man. What's going devil. On here? And he shall appear.
The MozCon Wi-Fi is what's going on here.
It intruded into our recording. Morty's here. I'm sorry, Greg. I thought this was our show, but evidently he can't not be on camera. He cannot be on the podcast. That's amazing. Fantastic.
I'm a whore for attention.
Good form, sir.
You want
sir.
To see my
Good
Big Lebowski socks?
let's see the socks.
I don't know if I need any more shoes in MozCon.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Oh, dude. That's actually pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. All right. So Morty's in the house, and Greg, I had no idea. I mean, this is unbeknownst to me.
Yeah, I had no idea. It wasn't part of the plan at all.
All right, Morty, I'll give you a swing at this article. What do you think about the shopping ads inside of Pinterest?
I have no idea. My internet went up.
Nice.
I don't know what you just advertising. I completely lost you.
All right. So stay put. We'll talk about something that's more in your alley. So, Greg, the whole point about shopping and being able to connect to products, and they're even doing a specific placement in the static images itself. I mean, what a fantastic tool. It's very similar to what there was a Layer 7 video being evolved about 20 years ago where they were actually looking, the cable companies were looking to actually insert ad clickable links via set-top boxes inside of mapped areas of video content. So if you got a Coke can, literally in the video itself, there would be an area where you could click on that thing. This is coming pretty darn close to that, having video content and static still content with clickable, shoppable links right there. Sir, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the tagging, when you look at this, it's that tag is right over the product. So in the past, you could still have those links, the shoppable pins essentially, but now it's going to be right over the video. And according to Pinterest themselves, they said that in initial tests, they saw that Pinner showed 70% higher shopping intent on product pins tagged and seen brand images than the standalone product pins. So again, I think that's going to make it a lot easier for somebody just to say, oh, I like that chair, hover over it, click and go through. So I'm very, very excited about that aspect of it.
Fantastic. And Instagram is nowhere close to what this particular transaction model is, right?
Not yet. They're just too focused on Reels at the moment, to be honest. They've got Shop, which is its own kind of little thing, but there's nothing really similar to this.
Excellent. So. All right. Well, we're excited to be able to hear that because that could very well invigorate a lot of e-com companies to get back into Pinterest. Pinterest is where it's at. All right. Second article. All right. I'm going to tee this up to you, Morty, since you're here. Over at Search Engine Land by Nicole Farley as well, Google is offering concessions to avoid DOJ lawsuits in their latest efforts to fend off a lawsuit from the U.S. Department of Justice. Google is actually offering to split the part of the business that auctions and places ads on websites and apps into a separate company under the Alphabet umbrella, of course. There's a lot going on this particular article. We're not going to be able to do it justice with everything that's happening at the lawsuit side of things. There's an ongoing case right now with the DOJ alleging that Google uses anti-competitive tactics to maintain the dominant position in online search. They also had a unredacted document that came out in October regarding potential bidding manipulation through AMP that kept header advertising out of the equation for non-Google market advertising. So that we reported on that. What do you think about Google saying, hey, we'll just split it off into a separate company of our own?
Okay, no, so all those problems are not a problem anymore. You just split it into another company.
Exactly.
Right, problem solved. First off, I don't know. Let's just play two things. One is Google's always said that the search side and the advertising side are completely separate things. Are they not? And now they will be when there's a separate thing. But let's take the other side of this. It's Google's platform, right? It's like, do you expect me to start promoting Shopify? Does anybody expect me to start promoting Shopify?
Nope.
No,
unless you,
right?
unless you say it three times in the mirror, I don't know.
I'm like that. I'm not anti Shopify. I think they offer a wonderful product. I think, you know, different folks, different strokes. Anyway, but you, I don't fully understand what we expect from Google. Yeah, they're going to be biased towards their own product. Mm-hmm. That's just human nature. That's just how it goes a little bit.
Absolutely.
So I don't fully understand like where we're going with this, and I don't understand how this solves anything.
It really doesn't. Greg, what are you thinking about this? I know you had a few notes about this one in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that's I've never really understand the rollout of is the whole Alphabet that's the operating company of Google. And it seemed like a lot of this really circled around like the YouTube side of it, where the EU is saying that, you know, as part of the offer, Google will allow competitors to broker the sale of ads directly on the video service. Mm-hmm. And I just like, that seems like you should have kind of separated church and state there. You know, when you did this big reorg, like, why would you be using Google to run YouTube? And I wonder if like yeah. that missplit of everything is kind of where it led today, because you do have to use Google Ads to place on YouTube.
Absolutely. So it's a big mess anyway, and they reorged just to be able to separate the lanes here so they wouldn't be considered any level of monopolization, right? And it's right. still the same basket.
Yeah, and I think, if you had everything, and because, right, there's sort of ad placements on the O&O, owned and operated mm-hmm. from Google. Mm-hmm. And then you've got like, you know, everything that's out there on the display network or Google Display Network, GDN, where that's on other people's sites. And I could see people, you know, having issues with that when you actually have the placements that the ad's being placed on and you're running the auction. Like that should be split up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I just think that kind of like the YouTube really, if you had YouTube ads, would anybody really care?
No, absolutely not. It'd be potentially be a cleaner vehicle, at least optically. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're talking. We're just talking optics at that point in time. It's the same company.
It's all optics.
It is. And arguably, there's a huge amount of allegations that are being thrown, non-proved allegations, and a lot of these different court proceedings. So with that, is this just optics versus optics type of battle here without any firmament of information on either side of the fence?
I mean, for my side, you know, some of the anti-competitive stuff that's been out there for a long time,
right.
You know, and that's always going to be that. And I think people criticize Google probably too harshly mm-hmm. on some of that. You know, if the EU is seeing this issue with YouTube specifically, and then the placement on other sites out there as well, that you have the inventory and you're running the auction itself. Like, I understand that.
Oh yeah.
Overall, it's in total 31.7 billion in revenue, so it's 12% of Alphabet's total ad revenue. So it's a lot. You know, it could be a big deal.
Absolutely. And Search Engine Land says specifically why they care. Any moves by Google to restructure parts of the ad tech business or offer policy changes could very well disrupt the digital advertising industry. That's a foregone conclusion right there. We do need to make sure that we are aware of changes. And that's why we're bringing this news here. We're not citing any particular side of the fence right now. But at the same time, if they're making machinations and it's just optics, what's the point here? So I'll at least take that side. Morty, final thought on that guy?
I'm good. Pass.
All right. How's MozCon, by the way?
That's great. You can see my lanyard right here. It says Moz on it. They pay me $100 to show it on the podcast. Again, anybody else wants to me to sponsor their brand on the podcast, just let me know.
Is that because they don't have Moz socks yet?
Yes, exactly.
There's no Moz socks?
No, we have Wig socks, though.
Oh, nice.
Wig socks.
I see that you're not wearing those, though. Yeah.
No, they're here in my back pocket, though. Here, they say footer on them.
Oh, my Lord. Footer? Nice.
Get it?
Nice.
Yeah. Get it? Nice.
I get it. All right. Hey, we want to make sure that we reference our title sponsor. They may actually pull out because of this particular episode, but we're proud to have Site Strategics, our own company, as a sponsor of Edge of the Web. We're pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. Our core specialties are SEM, technical SEO, social media marketing and management, as well as conversion optimization, all focused on results-based marketing that works. Also developed a unique omni-channel media marketing and content curation process. Say that five times fast. It's all guided by our weekly R&D here on the show, and we incorporate the best techniques and content curation strategies as well as broadcast strategy for our clients. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, just give us a call at 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. All right. Swing back around here and talk about our third article today. This is from Bruce Clay over at Search Engine Land. It's interesting. We haven't had a Bruce Clay article in a long time, and I want to bring that around and talk about it for a brief moment here. Creating new content versus optimizing old web pages, which is better for SEO? He says, should the larger focus of your SEO efforts go towards creating new content or updating existing content? According to Bruce Clay, you should dedicate about half of your SEO efforts to updating the old content, the other half creating new content. Now, why would he say that? What's the goal there of actually creating or updating the old content? I'll let you both take a swing on that. You both read the article, obviously. But Greg, why would we be interested in updating old content for our website?
Well, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. If it's out of date and inaccurate, it's not going to be serving folks well, right? No. And that's the whole point of what Google's trying to do, is to get the best, most relevant content. And if you just let things sit around and collect dust and become inaccurate and bad information,
right,
who's going to read it? It's pretty simple from that standpoint.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a quote from Search Quality Raters Guidelines from Google. Freshness is generally less of a concern for page quality rating. Stale pages can have a high page quality rating. And that said, I mean, if it's stale, is it inaccurate? All right. What does stale really mean? Stale, I would think, would be level of accuracy in the marketplace. Morty, what do you think about this particular article? I did this especially for this kind of conversation here.
Thank you. Thank you for finally putting an SEO article in this podcast. Wait, do I have a question first?
Yeah.
Do you think Bruce Clay listens to this podcast?
Oh, maybe off and on, every once in a while. Why? Are you going to say something wrong?
All right. You never see like those mafia movies? They take a crowbar and they beat up a guy with the. This is kind of what I do. This article.
Wow.
I don't think you should spend 50% of your time like, you know, oh, how should you? Yeah, 50% should be on this and 50% should be on that. First off, I think that conceptually speaking, the idea of showing Google that you're a living, breathing entity.
Yep.
Around this topic, meaning your site is an entity. I think it's important to think about your site as an entity that you want to show in terms of being an entity. Are you a living, breathing, dynamic beast around this topic? Then yes, you should be producing new content. You should be updating content. You should be making changes to your website. I think that shows you're an expert. You're authoritative. It's all that EAT greatness. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you spend 50% of your time updating all? It totally all depends. Like if you have content about like, I don't know, like VHS players, how often do you be updating that content?
That's some new technology.
Like, your site is the history of VHS. Should you be updating that? Like every, 50% of your time should be updating that content.
Oh, you should always rewind it back to its earlier stage.
I think for things like health content in a field like sure. It's constantly changing,
yep.
I wouldn't spend 50% of the time. I would maybe spend 80% of the time. Like it all depends on what the nature of the content is, which is why I would like to take a crowbar. I think people write these articles and like, and they're not nuanced enough. Uh-huh. And they're not detailed and thorough enough. They're just writing it because, it's great to get an article up there in Search Engine Land. It's good for our business.
I couldn't agree more. I absolutely hate absolutes, right? Like, right. You don't know. What if it's in the site that you just launched? How are you, like, you're going to, like, you can't, at the end of this, it literally says, so strengthen your SEO program. Make sure you spend 50% of your content focus time creating new web pages and 50% refreshing the old. That cannot apply to everybody and should not be printed, to be honest.
Ooh, see, shots fired.
What? Well, I mean, it's somebody's opinion, right? And so it's in a guest opinion on it. I just don't think that absolutes work for everybody.
Absolutes are only Siths and Bruce Clay speak in absolutes.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes.
All right. I'm going to jump.
Father of SEO, though.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He's a father of SEO. Which, by the way, in my Twitter profile, it says, no SEO, I am your father. I wrote that in response to Bruce Clay saying that he's a father of SEO.
Yep, yep, yeah. We know where that came
That's
from.
That's why it's there.
Oh my
little Lord. Easter egg.
All right. All right. So let me dive into this. There was a bit of social media that you pushed out over the weekend, Morty, regarding the volatility that we're seeing is now the norm, that we are seeing an active, instantaneous volatility. We're not waiting for core updates. However, there happens to be possibly signs of a core update rolling through right now. But even that, I mean, we've talked about this for literally 6 months, is that there's a new norm of a high degree of volatility of change, and Google's evaluating content even more frequently, even to the daily basis. We're now seeing choppy waters. So with that, going into your existing content with better methodology than you had 3 years ago, with better contextual reference, again, it all depends on the industry and the context that you're in. But actually going back through the content, you can very well score quite high in getting a page that's ranking in the top 20s into the top 10, a heck of a lot easier than moving a brand new page into the top 10. It takes a lot longer route to be able to get that positioning. So old content can be new again, and you should be looking at your beast analogy here. The lifeblood is not just on the new appendages of information. You got to demonstrate that all your content is valuable and getting blood circulating through it. Otherwise, you just have some dead wood behind you again and again and again, year over year over year. Part of our policy at Site is a constant review of how long ago did we write this and what do we do to churn this up, not just for the practice, but is there something new in the space of what we were writing about with a lens of 6 months to a year? And on top of that, new trending terms and new things that are happening. So the practice of recycling your content should be part of the course, not 50% of the time. Again, it all depends. But I think there's some substance here of the article that matches what you were talking about on LinkedIn.
Oh, no, I'm not saying like you shouldn't go back and look at your content and refresh it and maybe make sense to spend the bulk of your time on that. By the way, instantaneous volatility refers to both the algorithm and my mother.
I thought it was going to go really, really gross there for a second.
Does she listen to the show, Morty?
I don't really care.
Okay, so please, Morty, don't beat Bruce Clay with a crowbar, okay? Oh, no, you were just talking about the article.
All right, hold me back. Hold me back.
All right, so again, it's an entity. We understand that domains are entities here. Let's talk about something real quick. Our ongoing sponsor, Inlinks, is focused on entities. Entities play a major role in search and long dead are the days of keyword ranking and building content solely around keywords. And now's the time to add entities into the mix and reach higher rankings with Inlinks, an award-winning entity SEO software. They provide some expert-level data analysis on how to build your content around keywords so Google can have a better understanding of the context of your article. So go over to edgeofthewebradio.com/Inlinks, Inlinks, today to claim your free Inlinks account. And start creating content that's going to win ranks. And yeah, you could even score your old content and pump some lifeblood back into that. See how I did that? That segue? How about that? Pretty good, huh? All right. I got something else I want to go through with you guys here, guys. Fast Track. I want to add some new elements into the show here. Not that we haven't done this already, but Barry's moving at the speed of light on a regular basis on Search Engine Roundtable. All right. He's saying a heck of a lot of things. There are a lot of things that are popping around right now. So, you know, the whole ESPN quick drill of some hot takes, right? We got three articles that we want to tee up and have you guys take a swing at. First and foremost, over at Search Engine Roundtable, there's a huge drop in Google People Also Ask. That's what's happening right now as we're recording on the 11th of July. This actually is a substantial drop. We're looking at SEMrush, as well as Rank Ranger, like a 30% drop in visible people also ask search features. And the search community is bouncing around on that right now. They're observing this real time. So, gentlemen, what do you think about this? Have you been able to see this out in the wild? And do you see any, if this bodes any particular warning? Greg, I'll go to you first.
I haven't, not my specialty, to be fair, but I would say that Google's always testing this. And like we saw with when they rolled out the meta descriptions and had them longer and moved them back and everything like that.
Right.
Just because you see something one day doesn't mean you should just change your entire strategy.
Absolutely.
Around it, right. So like, if you're seeing this, like, give it time. Let's hear. Let's let it wait before you do something drastic.
Amen to that. All right, Morty, what do you say?
So similar to that, two things. Either this is a bug on Google's side, which I think the Rank Ranger guys were saying that as well. Like, it's kind of odd to see that kind of drastic of a drop off so quickly, or they're testing something else and replacing it. I think with these kind of things, like the real insight aren't like, oh, they're all of a sudden gone, but what are they being replaced with? What kind of keywords are they swapping out instead?
Yep.
Which I love the fact that the tools always show that aggregate data, but then they don't offer the specific data that's actually really helpful. Anyway.
Absolutely. I'm actually checking Twitter right now, and Brian Friesleben actually was talking to Marie Haynes as we're talking about the drop in PAAs. And he says that something really interesting too. PAA on the left side and PAA on the right is gone. Things to consider nested within the popular products. So, he's actually seeing the change over a featured piece there. Yeah, absolutely.
It could be a specific test. Yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Another article from the Barry. Google Ad Editor version 2.1 with an overview page design has been released. Now, I do know that this is right up your alley. Greg, what do you say about the new editor? Have you given it a trial run there?
Absolutely, I have. And I immensely love the new changes to this.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
It's awesome. So one of the issues that you had as a kind of PPC practitioner is you'd be able to kind of see all the insights on the web version, but you'd have to do all the work in editor. And this sort of brings the best of both worlds, where you get to see all the visual representation right there in editor. You can see it down by campaign, by ad group, and it just lets you not have to just have two monitors going back and forth trying to figure out what's going on. I dig it. Couldn't say more things positive about it.
I mean, the evolution of Google Ads Editor over the last 2 years has been amazing. Would you agree with that?
With the exception of the recommendations, the optimization score they pull in there. But yes, I would say that.
I would agree with that. All right. Hey, Morty, guys, anything to say about that? Anything? Okay, we'll move on. Google removes. Last article from Barry. Google removes language in the help doc, calling hidden Search Console query data very rare. Now, this is the final one I wanted to stop on here because this has some meat on the bones. Patrick Stock over at Ahrefs actually ran an analysis of hidden queries and not only alleging, but actually demonstrating that about almost 50% of the queries are removed from their reports with the data that they're seeing. And this article from Barry is saying, hey, by the way, Google just changed some of the information in its help doc and removed the hidden Search Console query data as very rare. So all of a sudden, with people calling out that we're missing clicks, missing queries that are creating clicks, we don't have a full accurate picture inside the Google Search Console, and Google decides to go over and remove that little line out of their help doc. How about them apples? Morty, what do you think?
I didn't think this was necessarily new. I'm glad to see that, you know, Patrick's brilliant, by the way. It's a great study. Oh, yeah. But Google's always been bucketing these kind of keywords together. So you're not always seeing the exact keyword that you're trying to track.
Right. And we talked about that on the show last week, I think, is permutations of certain keywords. It's not even viable to see everything and be able to have that actionable. So,
But it can be a big difference.
Sure. But selectively removing that out of the help doc, isn't that a little bit odd? Isn't that a little bit weird that they're doing it right now as there's a flag on the play?
Sorry, are my hands red?
Greg, what do you think about this? I'll give you the last word on this one.
Yeah, I mean, ideally they'd have a time machine and go remove it before that article came out. The article might not have came out. You know, like it's they just had it in there, and it's something they're doing. Like, and it's only going to get worse. Yeah. Honestly, like they're removing a lot more personally identifiable information everywhere.
Right.
Even on the ad side, you used to be able to see when you looked at a search query report all the different terms that were driving things through. And now you're lucky if you get half. You know, and it's just something that's going to be continuing to be more geared towards privacy, which unfortunately means that you're not going to see as many terms. It's just it's reality, and we have to deal with it on reality's terms.
That's right. So they're not going to give us everything to be able to steer our campaigns by. So it's, and that kind of also aligns with GA4 coming through, because it's, again, they're going down with users, not sessions. They're not, these are, what do they say? They're examples, they're representations of your user behavior. They're not to ever be considered as verbatim absolutes. Again, the only thing that actually speaks in absolutes are the Sith, right,
Glenn? And Bruce Clay.
And Morty's crowbar.
All right. So that was the hot takes. Hopefully we'll do that on, I mean, I can't keep track of all the things that Barry's reporting on. Hopefully we can keep going. I've got to have some intro music for that if we keep it going, you know, a little bit Barry White or whatever. All right. Hey, we're proud to have Page One Power as the new sponsor for the Edge of the Web news series here. They jump in every once in a while. It's great to have a new sponsor on board. We're eager to share with our audience who they are. Page One Power is an SEO agency specializing in sustainable link building and strategic content creation. They create content and links that are tailored to your goals, all with a project manager who will help you along the way, every step of your campaign. Go over to edgeofthewebradio.com/PageOnePower to get a free 30-minute consultation. Thanks for joining us, Page One Power. All right, had to get that one in there, gentlemen, and I appreciate your time today. Now, Greg actually represents another hashtag chat that's going on a regular basis in the marketplace. So we usually talk about SEO chat, but this week, Greg, what's happening on PPC chat?
I don't actually know what the current topic is, but Julie Bacini is amazing, and you can catch it at noon on Tuesdays. And if you don't have time to read through or it's too confusing, you can check it out Thursdays at 12. It's a Twitter Spaces there, and then there's a recap. And Anu, the marketing Anu on Twitter, does a podcast that recaps it. Oh, so wow. You have no reason not to listen to PPC chat this week.
Holy moly, that's three levels of PPC, and that, PPC chat.
And that website Anu has is built and powered by Wix.
Oh, wow.
See, it's how it works so well.
Oh, my gosh. See how he does. That's a gratuitous plug if I ever saw one. All right. So check out PPC chat noon Eastern on Tuesdays, right?
Yep. Noon Eastern's an audio version Thursdays at noon.
Very Eastern. Good. Okay. So SEO chat is happening every Thursday Eastern at 1 p.m. Morty, who's on SEO chat this week?
Monse Cano, but I just want to point out that there's a theme with these like chats. Like, we don't know what the hell's going on with them. She's not me. It's also Greg. Like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Monse Cano's hosting. She's talking about international SEO. What about international SEO exactly? I don't know. Who knows? I don't know.
So both of you are literally not knowing what your own chats are doing. That's what you're saying here, right?
I do know it now. It's beyond the click, leaning into conversion rate optimization for PPC, what is sure to be a wonderful event I've been waiting for weeks.
I'm glad we could help you there, Greg. Very good. Check out both PPC chat and SEO chat this week. We appreciate it greatly. Gentlemen, any final thoughts? I appreciate you guys getting on board here and joining the Edge. Greg, it's always a pleasure to have you. Any final thoughts about marketing or clock? Who's coming up on your show soon?
We don't really have guests anymore. It's just three of us kind of shooting the heck and sort of talking about marketing. But I just want to say thanks for having me. It's been fantastic.
Absolutely.
This was an absolute blast.
Fantastic. Well, we always want to have you back around. It's great to be able to talk on the PPC side of things and kind of counterweight our SEO investment of content on a regular basis. But Morty's here, so we got to talk SEO. We've been doing it for a few years now, right? So Morty, final thoughts coming from Oz?
Final thoughts.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not paid to think.
He's going to pull a Stuart Smiley.
Which is a thought. I am good enough. I am smart enough. And sometimes people like me.
Exactly. How's Crystal Carter doing, by the way?
She was fantastic, by the way. It was really good. Cool. It was a great session about reverse image search and like what Google's looking for in images. Like, did you know that Google cannot read text backwards? So if you have text in your image that's backwards, like you have your brand Wix, let's say, and it's like zero, because it's XIW.
Right.
Google can't read that.
Oh my gosh.
If you want to put some branding in there, it's the right way.
Interesting enough is that one of her tweets was a reversed image. Did you see that? When she was pointing out where she was on the schedule, that was literally reversed in the camera.
Oh, see, there you go. That's the whole problem. Google can't read that.
I'm not stalking you at all, guys.
I'm making notes for the robot uprising. Wear shirt with backwards text.
So they don't know where you are or who you are, right?
No, leave me alone.
It's like
the one guy survived. Like, what? How'd he do it? He was wearing backwards text on his shirt.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. That's it for Edge this week. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you check out, everybody, the Marie Haynes podcast that we've got dropping this Thursday. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our YouTube channel when it gets updated, when we drop videos in there. Be sure to rate this podcast.com/Edge. Let us know how we're doing, how we did on this show, even though Morty crashed the party. Give us a shout over there, and the reviews are how we affect the algorithm, guys. So give us a review, if you would, from all of us over the Edge. Stay safe, stay well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.